And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper returns on Monday. Well, with the holidays upon us, you might be headed out for some restaurant meals. Today, Linda Gassenheimer and guests have answers about superb dining spots or not. Linda will have an hour to learn more, and of course, we'll take your calls. I'll give the number. It's 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576, or you can email radio@wlrn.org. Linda Gassenheimer, chef, author, syndicated columnist, and our friend.
I was waiting for that part. Thank you, Bonnie. Nice to be here. Okay, as you mentioned, it's our popular restaurant review program. There's always lots of news. I can't believe how many openings there have been and unfortunate closings. And so we're going to talk all about it. We have Jen Koretnik here. She's covering Miami-Dade, and she's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Linda.
Great to and also the author of Mango.
Yes. Mango.
Okay, wonderful book. And we also have with us Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group, and he's going to cover Broward County for us. Hi, Matt.
How you doing, Linda?
Great. I hear you're in California enjoying yourself there?
Yeah, I'm out here for the holidays, but it's funny. I seem like I'm in California every time you call me, but I really do live in Miami, and I actually do know about restaurants there. It's not a lie.
No, well, we do know that, Matt. We do know that. And we, of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners, as Bonnie said. Do you have any tips, a restaurant treasure to share with us? Maybe it's a mom-and-pop place, great food, or if you have guests visiting, you want some restaurant suggestions, ask us about it. Give us a call. That's 800-743-WLRN. That's 800-743-9576. I don't know if we have email today, do we?
Yeah, we can do email.
Okay,
radio@wlrn.org.
Wonderful. Bonnie will take the emails. And of course, our favorite wine columnist is with us. Fred Tasker is joining us by Skype. Fred gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner Minutes column that you can read in today's Miami Herald. And you can also read Fred Tasker's wine column. It's in Saturday's Miami Herald now. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, I thought I would talk about what wine to drink with Christmas dinner.
Well, that sounds good. Mm. All right. Okay. Openings and closings. Here's a few that I've been to. Just wanted to mention them. Tamarina. Now, that's in the old Lippy spot. That's at 600 Brickell in Miami-Dade. Stunning setting, seafood-focused Italian restaurant. And it's opened by the same people who opened Zuma. Then also another megastar opening is Sea Grape. It's a renovated 1930s Thompson Miami Beach Hotel. And Michelle Bernstein, the celebrity chef's Michelle, is the executive chef there for all the restaurants. It's a stunning place.
Where is it?
It's at the Thompson
Hotel.
But where
is that?
That's at 40th and Collins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a beautiful little spot. And it's not quite finished yet. They're still working around the outside. But we were just there last night, and it's really, really beautiful, relaxing decor. And you know what? The temperature in the room was perfect. Not too cold, not too hot. You know how you get so
and
cold in restaurants?
And not too noisy.
And not noisy, yeah. It's a lovely, lovely decor spot. And, you know, it's like one of those places you kind of want to have a staycation.
Yeah, right. Also, talking about staycation, we always think, you know, we go away someplace for vacation and we live in a paradise. So I really enjoyed this restaurant, which is right on the water, and it's called Sea Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie, you said you've been there and enjoyed it.
Quite a few times. Love it.
It's Greek-inspired on the Intracoastal Waterway at 163rd Street. And here's a little treasure that friends of mine introduced me to, and it's called Vero, V-E-R-O, Italian. They make their own pasta from scratch, very rustic interior. It's small. It's charming. The owners are there cooking away. It's at 90 Southeast 1st Street. And that area is really blossoming with restaurants in Miami, right in the center there.
I just want to say Sea Grill, although it is Greek-inspired, they have tons of side dishes and vegetables that are divine.
Do they do grilled octopus?
Yes, they do.
Oh, that's good.
Fred, you might have to come back.
Yes,
that's
Fred.
Right.
Come and see us.
Okay. Come for a visit.
If you're looking for a little French brasserie, Brasserie Central, Pascal Houdin opened up his little French, authentic French bistro. It's in Merrick Park in Coral Gables. It's a really a little piece of Paris. You can sit outside there and pretend you're on the Champs-Élysées or something.
Well, you'd have to pretend, yes.
And one more, Modern Garden is opened by Sea Salt and Pepper. It's right next door to it, and it's seats 60 indoors, patio seating as well. And again, it has mostly cold dishes. It's right on the Miami River. I'll just go over a couple of closings, which very sadly, Giancarlo Bodani announced the closing of Escopazzo. It was one of yes. Miami's best little Italian treasures.
Right on Washington, the one on Washington?
Yes, that's too bad that she's closed that. And also, of course, it's very sad to see the 102-year-old Tobacco Road closed.
Yeah. Yes, but that is going to reopen on a ship. Did you know that?
Well, they're talking about it. They're trying to get the money together to put it on a ship, and that, and hopefully it happens. I mean, that was obviously a beloved spot that's gone, but it's, you know, it's still in the development process right now.
That would be kind of a change of atmosphere, wouldn't it?
Lightly.
it would be, yeah. The authenticity might not transfer very well, but...
Yeah, it was just sort of the place where it was and all.
Yeah, back when I worked in New Times, we used to have meetings there. So, you know, it's a slightly different kind of idea, I think, to put it on a cruise. But
you lose that good old smoky atmosphere.
Yeah, but the smoky atmosphere has gone the way of Tobacco Road anyway, so...
Is it going to be... A ship stationed here that you can get on and off, or is it going to be a cruise ship?
It's going to be a cruise ship.
Oh.
They've bought the rights to it, so we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right, and one more, I think, is PB Steak, part of the Pubbelly group. They closed. They just didn't like the rent change that was happening.
Yeah, and who would? Yeah.
Right. Well, let's go on. Jen, what's going on here?
Well, you know what? You mentioned that their Modern Garden was serving a lot of cold dishes, and that is the big trend that we're seeing is a lot of crudos, the Italian cold fish dishes and seafood platters and lots of oysters. We have lots
of oysters. What's this
with oysters?
Everywhere I go, there's oysters.
I know. I think we have better access is one of the reasons, and they're coming in from all different parts of the country and all different parts of the oceans that we have that we're not necessarily coming in from local places. So we have Mignonette, which is one of the first real oyster bars to open, which was followed by Midtown Oyster Bar. So we have actually two real oyster bars if you want to go to them.
Now, where is Mignonette?
Mignonette is in Edgewater. So, and that's Danny Surfer's place. He's the one who's responsible for Blue Collar.
It's right around the corner from here.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. It's right on 2nd Avenue and 14th Street.
When you're calling Edgewater.
Well,
you know,
Edgewater.
Edgewater, okay. Mimo, Design. You know, come on.
It's right on 2nd Avenue and 14th Street.
Edgewater is a little wedge of land that, yes, exactly, right around the corner from this building.
Yes.
But he's a great chef. I happen to love his food because he cooks with honesty and real ingredients. And he doesn't, you know, he's not trying to pull anything over on anybody. So when he's opening an oyster bar, you can bet that those oysters are going to be pretty fresh.
And worth eating,
right.
Exactly.
And then Midtown Oyster Bar is owned by the same people who own Salumeria and a whole bunch of other restaurants, the Grasper Restaurant Group. So you can pretty much bet that they know what they're doing as well. But so, then there's a whole bunch of these oyster happy hours that are starting to develop as well. So Toscana Divina has an oyster happy hour, and Tamarina has an oyster special that they're doing at their happy hour. And then Bal Harbour Bistro is just opened. That used to be Mr. Collins, and now it is another raw bar. So all of a sudden we're seeing all of these, you know.
Well, that in one Bal Harbour?
Yes, in one Bal Harbour. Yeah, Mr. Collins was actually, you know, a very good restaurant with a great wine list, and it has that beautiful floor-to-ceiling view of the ocean. Right. So that remains. But now it's purely a raw bar kind of fish, you know, shellfish kind of place. So we're starting to see some really good product, and we're highlighting our own product, but we're also seeing the product from around the country.
Well, okay. So Matt Meltzer, what's going on up in Broward there?
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Just recently, this week, kind of a cool new concept opened with a guy named Laurent Tassic. He was at Sage. He's opening a place called Q Bar, and it's a jazz club, which, you know, is interesting enough because I don't really think there's a lot of jazz clubs existing anywhere, really, in South Florida. But they're going to have the kind of gastropub burger food. If you're familiar sort of with what gastropub food is, it's sort of a foodie take on traditional bar food. And that is opening this weekend, I believe. So that's a brand new spot that you can check out. One of the more interesting spots.
So, Matt, where is the Q Bar?
The Q Bar is north on Federal Highway a little bit, it's 2746 North Federal Highway. So a little bit north of downtown there in Fort Lauderdale. So it's going to be a little away from, you know, your traditional spots there on Las Olas and Hemershire out on the beach or wherever you'd go out in Broward. So if you are more of the type that just wants to go and listen to jazz and eat some good food and not really be in the middle of everything, it's going to be a much better spot for you to go to. And the food, obviously, they just opened this weekend, so I haven't had a chance to try it out. But I will shortly, and I'll report back to you.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. We're going to take a short break there. And thank you for the callers who are coming in. We're going to take those right away after the break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And we're talking about South Florida restaurants with Jen Koretnik, Matt Meltzer, and soon you, our listeners. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene. Giving us the latest news is Jen Koretnik, the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine, and Matt Meltzer, the Miami editor for Thrillist, the media group. And you, we are about to hear from you, our listeners. We'd love to hear about your treasures. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Let's take John in Miami. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Me?
John, go ahead.
Hi. No, I was calling to recommend Whisk in South Miami. It's behind Sunset Place. Great gourmet-type southern cooking and has a kind of a country ambiance to the place. Their pork chop is just absolutely insane. Also, the Sake Room in Midtown, sushi, very understated, very good. Their crunchy crab salad is amazing. So,
what are you saying? You're calling the
Sake Room?
Sake. Okay.
Sake Room. Yes.
Okay. All
right. Biscayne and in Midtown. It's on like Northeast 18th Street.
Wonderful. Thank you for your
okay.
We have a lot of calls here, but I will say that Whisk is just a little tiny place in South Miami that's a local hangout. They're always full there. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, and we'll go to Henry. Henry in Coral Springs. Hello, Henry. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Great. What's up?
I just wanted to recommend this new spot in, actually, Coral Springs. It's called the Cook and the Cork. It's this kind of really excellent, eclectic, small plates kind of place. There's wonderful ambiance, and it's jammed every night. It's a kind of a really wonderful reprieve from the otherwise boring, chainy kind of places that are around here. Really creative, and yeah.
So where is it exactly?
Pearl Springs on Sample Road, just west of University.
Okay, thank you. I'm taking this all down because I'm going to put all the restaurants that have been mentioned will go on my website, dinnerinminutes.com. You'll see all of the restaurants and contact information there.
Oh, cool.
After the show, okay? Thank you for your call, Henry.
Yeah, I used to review up in Coral Springs, and I know exactly what he means by a reprieve from all the chainy restaurants. It would be so hard to find an independent restaurant to review around there.
And yeah, absolutely.
It was impossible, really.
Yeah, and I, and after living in New York for so long, it's like I felt right at home there. It's pretty great to see people, you know, running an independent small business, and yeah.
The Cook and the Cork.
Okay, great. Thanks for your call, Henry.
Thank you.
Our number is 800-743-9576 if you'd like to join us. And let's go to the next one, Jan. Hi, Jen, in Miami.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to recommend, it's a Lebanese place. It's pretty new, called Shaddai. It's in Pinecrest. That's Shaddai. And my sister, who is a lover and connoisseur of Cabernet, says they have one of the best Cabernet she's ever had, and she's had it everywhere.
One of the best what? To explain what that is.
Cabernet is kibbe. If you're familiar with kibbe, it's a Lebanese ground beef and wheat germ dish. It's that raw, and it's just served raw on a plate with some seasonings, and it's very. I don't eat it, but my sister loves it. But everything is good there. Their baklava is out of this world. Their hummus is fantastic. Everything is great there.
All right. So, you're making us hungry.
See, now if Joe were here, he would be saying, beef, meat.
Yes.
He'd be so happy.
Raw or otherwise.
Right, exactly.
That goes along with what you've been saying, Jen. That
everything is raw. I know.
It's raw.
And it's not just the meat. My son is vegan, and he's been there with me twice, and he really liked it, too. There's a lot of vegan options.
Great.
On the menu.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Let's go
Thank
on.
You. Welcome. Can I do a couple?
Sure.
Okay, so have you heard of Lola's on Harrison? Have you been there?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that good?
It's been there for a while.
Oh, how long has it been there? I just discovered it.
It's been there. Well, it's got to be at least a decade.
A decade?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because it was there when I was reviewing for New Times.
Lola's on Harrison. It's really very New York-y. You know, it feels very New York-y.
Because, again, it's like it's a small, independent business owner. Yeah.
And that's in Fort Lauderdale.
Harrison Street, Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
A little geography lesson for me. Thank you.
And another thing, did you know that Dewey Lissasso left AQ? And do you know where he is?
Yes.
You say it.
Where?
He's at Schnepley's.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
He just went to...
Well, it's been a year.
Yeah.
And this is something apparently he's always wanted to do, was to open up something on a farm, and not just do farm to table, but do
farm to farm,
farm to farm. You know,
so he's got to figure out what kind of food goes with mango wine. That should be a challenge.
So and beer, because they now have a brewery.
Yeah, it's called Miami Schnepley Winery and Miami Brewing Company.
Yes. So,
he's opening a restaurant there. Is it open yet?
No,
it just
broke. He's going to be doing pop up dinners, a series of pop up dinners on the weekends, while the restaurant is being built. So, you know Dewey, he can do anything on the fly. So I think this is going to be a pretty good thing.
Wow, well, that's breaking news.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's one other thing. Well, there are two other things. But do you know about Tiberia, where Food Gang used to be?
No, that you can tell me about.
I can't yet. I don't think it's open yet.
Oh,
I thought maybe you would know. It's supposed to be, or I've heard it's going to be really good. But you remember where Food Gang was in Surfside?
Yes.
Yeah, on Harding Avenue. So
something
I'll check
to
and
watch
see if
for.
It's
you'll,
open.
You'll
yes,
let
I'll
us
let
know.
You know.
Okay,
yeah, some of those
great.
Spots change very rapidly around there. I don't know if it's the rent or if it's the clientele or if it's the actual, you know,
it's
kind of hard to
there.
Say. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to... Marilyn in Coconut Grove. Hi, Marilyn in Coconut Grove. You're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to recommend a little-known but nationally recognized steakhouse. You have to drive a ways to get to it, but Jane and Michael Stern have reviewed it and called it one of the best steakhouses in the United States. And Rachel Ray did a March Madness sort of playoff against...
Okay, you've teased us and teased us, so what's it called?
It's called Archie's.
Archie's.
Archie's Wayside, spelled with an E, Waeside.
And where is that?
Well, I may have said it's kind of far away. My favorite is the Porterhouse. They only have prime-aged beef, which they have their own locker plant process from Iowa and Nebraska beef. Then they age it and they cut it themselves and serve it along with a lot of other homemade recipes. And of course, you realize by now that it's totally independent restaurant.
Right. So you said it's far away. Is it
yeah.
in Broward? Is it in Dade? I mean,
well, it's in a remote corner of northwest Iowa in a town called.
So it's not open here? Then?
No, as I said, you have to go some ways to get there.
Okay.
Oh, it was quite a ways.
Yeah.
Some ways.
Okay, thank you very
well,
much.
Well, wait a minute. I wanted to tell you, it's been around for so long, since 1949. My dad founded it. And as I said, it beat Peter Luger and many other steakhouses across the nation.
Well, we'll think about that in the summertime when we go to Iowa. Thank you so much for your call, Marilyn. Okay, we'd like to sort of keep restaurants to the South Florida area.
I have a few good Michigan restaurants I could recommend.
You know, and Matt's in California. Matt, I'm sure you can recommend some out there.
Okay,
if we had more time, we could absolutely. I have a ton I can tell you about.
But. Okay, I just looked up. Tiberio is open.
Oh,
it's
okay, good.
At 9472 Harding Avenue. But I haven't been there yet because I believe they just opened.
Okay, well, we'll have to check
out. We'll have to check it out.
You know, there are a whole bunch of restaurants opening, and they're so rapidly coming at you, it's really hard to keep up. But, you know, all of the Miami Beach Edition, that's a hotel that Jean-Georges has opened.
Has
three
that
restaurants,
opened?
And yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're just open. So those restaurants are open. Michael Mina's Strip Steak has opened. I mean, it's going to be very hard to keep up now. But now that's the colder weather, we're allowed to eat a lot. So,
but is it true that the average restaurant in South Florida lasts only about a year?
It seems to be that way.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I could believe it.
Yeah.
You got to run really fast to get to these places before they close.
It's true. You got to eat fast, and you got to eat a lot, and you got to burn it off so you can get to the next one.
You remember that Prost place, I think, was open as a sausage place in Brickell? I think was open for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, there are some that have closed before they've actually opened. So
even better.
Some you can't even get to at all.
All right. So
we could probably take one more.
Okay. We can take one more call. Okay. Marcus in Pompano. Hello, Marcus. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Marcus. And actually, I wanted to give a recommendation for a restaurant that I hope is still there. But it brought up a subject I wanted to see if maybe you guys could help with. Micro restaurants. Tiny little restaurants that they're very high scale, they're very high end, but they only have a half a dozen tables or seven tables. Romeo's Cafe is on Coral Way, on the east side of Coral Way, as opposed to out west. And, you know, there's no menu. You go in and the chef has prepared a couple of different selections for each of the courses. And it has to be it is the most romantic restaurant I know. And I'd make reservations long in advance for Valentine's or for a special party.
Yeah,
but I moved up to
Boca
about 5 years ago and I discovered a place called Six Tables. Again, same concept. Six tables. That's it. That's all there is. And these are very small, very, very romantic and intimate restaurants. And these are the only two I know of, and I just discovered another one up in Boca.
So
I was curious if there's more.
The Six Tables, where is it located?
It's in Boca Raton. I want to say Palmetto Park, just east of Federal Highway.
Okay, well, look it up then.
But Romeo's Cafe is the place that I had always enjoyed.
That's
and I
been
haven't
there
been down
for a
there
while.
In many years.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's still there.
It's been there for a while, and it really has been a little treasure.
But that type of restaurant, a micro restaurant that's very, very small and intimate, the owner prepares everything, serves you directly himself. You know, are there more of those in South Florida?
Yeah, there's one on Brickell, Brickell Key, I think. Or no, Key Biscayne. Key Biscayne. Yeah, now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Getting in, good luck getting in there. It's a
right,
great spot.
Exactly.
If you like sushi, it's probably the best in the city. But yeah,
which one is that?
It's Now.
N-A-O-E. That's on Brickell Key.
Yeah, it's an omakase. You know, he kind of just makes whatever he's going to make, and they charge, I want to say, $175
right.
or $185 or something per person.
Now, Romeo's was a lot more affordable than that, fortunately for me.
Yeah, it is.
But it was still higher end, you know. It was something I could only do a couple times a year. But I'd be very interested to see if there was a list of this type of restaurant, or is there a term for this type of restaurant where there's no menu, the owner serves you whatever he's made, and, you know, they only have a very limited number of tables.
Okay, well, we need to take a break here, but Marcus, thank you very much for your question and your recommendation. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and as you can tell, we're talking about South Florida restaurants with Jen Koretnik, Matt Meltzer, and you, our listeners. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about South Florida restaurants. And giving us the latest news is Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine and Matt Meltzer is the Miami editor for Thrillist Media Group. And, of course, you, our listeners, have been giving us your take on the restaurants here. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. So let's take some more calls here.
Okay.
All right. John, in Boca Raton, he's been waiting a while. Thank you for waiting, John. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm more looking for recommendations as opposed to offering one. As a South Florida local, I've had the luxury of taking advantage of a lot of tourist spots, like country clubs or, you know, private or exclusive hotels or yacht clubs. Last year, I had walked into one, I won't name them, and they had asked for my room card and said, we can't serve you anymore unless you're actually staying here. And I've noticed that trend. Are there any, you know, the yacht clubs, the private places, that sort of exclusive atmosphere that still allows people in even though they're not guests? Do you have any recommendations?
Well, I do. I think that you can go into the new Donald Trump golf course country club in Doral. BLT Steak is there. It's a beautiful location. It's gorgeous, and I know it's. I think it's open to the public.
Yeah, that's the same thing with Turnberry too. They have the bourbon steak at Turnberry. Would be the same kind of concept.
Yeah, right. That's also open to the public. I'm not sure that's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, there's been a lot of them that, like I said, I won't name them because some of them pretty much said now we have to kick you out where they didn't used to. But yeah, those exclusive areas that are still open to the public that unless you're staying there or you didn't know it was, you know, they don't really advertise that you can still get into. Those are a couple good choices.
Okay.
Also, the Grove Isle, the restaurant in Grove Isle is like that because you can't get onto that island unless you're staying there or visiting somebody. But the only other way is if you're going to Gibraltar, which is the restaurant that's there. And it's a real, you know, it's that Grove Isle view right there on the water.
Exactly.
That's exactly. A good recommendation,
yeah,
too.
And any of the Ritz-Carltons. I mean, I always get the feeling from a Ritz that it's very exclusive and, you know, you could be a guest at the hotel or you could be staying there or you could even be living there. But, you know, you have a reason to be there.
Yeah, the one on Key Biscayne.
The Mexican restaurant at the one on Key Biscayne is one of the best ones in the city. Nobody knows it's there. There's a great Italian place there.
Yeah,
too,
and they have great tequilas there also. So
yeah, phenomenal.
You're a tequila fan.
Good recommendations. I appreciate
exactly.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Thank you.
Okay, the next one would be Ellie in Miami. Ellie in Miami.
Hello, Ellie. You're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, you've got you down as Ellie, but I think maybe you're Eli. What is your name?
Yeah, some people call me Eli. Some people call me Eli. It depends who you are. But Ellie is right.
Okay, whoever you are.
Yeah, right.
What's your recommendation?
I recommend Cibo Wine Bar. It's written C-I-B-O, but in Italian, the letter C, they pronounce it as C. So it is Cibo, Cibo meaning food in Italian. It is really beautiful restaurant. It just got inaugurated on December 5th. It just opened December 5th. And it is, I believe it is the biggest restaurant ever built in South Beach. And it's located right on 200 South Point. It's right across from Nikki Beach, actually. Oh. I love it, and I recommend it. I was here in the grand opening. Believe me, it was like, you know, out of this world. I don't know if people here in Miami have seen something like it ever.
All right. Well, thanks for your call.
Okay.
A lot of callers here, so we'll go on to the next one. Thank you. We'll go to Thomas. Thomas in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Thomas.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What restaurants are around the Adrian Arts Center?
Oh.
They just put a new one in the Arts Center. I will tell you, I went there. It is phenomenal. It's a three-course prefix. It's $36 or something, which is amazingly affordable considering, you know, what restaurants in Miami cost. And you get an appetizer, main course, and a dessert. It rotates what it is. I had a really good 6-ounce filet when I was there. But that would be my top pick to go. It's actually in the Arts Center and probably will end up costing you less. than a lot of restaurants in the surrounding area.
Yeah, it's called
Well,
Brava.
Also, Books and Books just is opening.
They're opening tomorrow
night. Right. Yes. Yeah. And that's going to be, yeah, and that's going to be a little informal.
In the Sears Tower.
Right.
With their cafe.
And of course, Chef Allen is designing the menu.
Chef Allen Susser is there. So,
and he says it's going to be very tropical, very Florida, and filling a void that we really do have missing here. I mean, there's really no place to have lunch around the Arsh Center. Although we do have City Hall. We do have City Hall, which I love City Hall. I go there all the time. It's great, got a great happy hour.
And now we have Mignonette.
And we have Mignonette. So there are some options.
Yeah.
Okay.
Books and Books is going to be a nice outdoor spot. And it's actually going to be right where we had my daughter's bat mitzvah. So I have a deep attachment to it already.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does that help, Thomas?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And we'll go to Carla on Cutler Bay. Carla.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's up with you, Carla?
Just in case you're tallying votes, I wanted to give a second for Shaddai and Pinecrest. I get so excited when restaurants that are below Dadeland get some recognition. We have a lot of wonderful things happening in the Southwest. So that's all my call is. It's a lovely place, family-owned. She's on point about the baklava. Everything was just fresh and just great. The lemon chicken is superb. So
when
just
did
in
that
case you're tallying.
All right, we'll have to get down there.
Thank you
so much for your time.
Thanks.
Okay. Oh, wait, you want to go to?
I'm getting hungry.
I know.
Let's go to Lynn and Coral Gables. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to recommend a very comfortable, long-time fixture in Coral Gables called Yuga Restaurant. The food is always good there. The service is superb.
How are you spelling that?
It's Y-U-G-A.
Where is it?
It's just east of Lejeune Road, and it is just north of Alhambra. It's walking distance from Books and Books. A bit north and west of Books and Books, but, you know, just consistently good food. There are lots of regulars who go there every week, and, you know, people know your name. It's always the same waitresses and waiters. As I said, beautiful cut flowers that the hostess arranges every week. The food's always good. You can always count on it, and it's extremely inexpensive.
All right. Well, that's new to me. Jen, do you know about this restaurant?
That's a Pan-Asian place?
Yeah, it's owned by the same people who own Sushi and Izakaya.
Right. And
which
Lan,
is probably the best
Lan
Pan-Asian.
Oh,
it's the Lan people. Yes.
Right.
They do
a very good job.
And they also
cater. Yeah, but this is a different atmosphere than Lan. It's very calm and serene and just a lovely place to be.
Okay. Well, thank you for your... Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Our number is 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Give us a call. Let's go to Barry in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Barry. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. How are you?
Good. So I have two restaurants. Before I moved to Fort Lauderdale 5 years ago, one of my favorite restaurants downtown was Cafe Europa.
Mm-hmm.
And then it closed because they knocked down the property next to the Riverside Hotel. It reopened a few years later, just a little bit further east on Las Olas.
Right.
Great restaurant. The waitstaff has been there forever. The service is phenomenal. Food quality is always consistent. Great wines and beers. And you have the nice view of Las Olas. There's tables on the street.
All right.
And then my second suggestion, because it's holiday time, everybody has families come to visit, especially down here in South Florida. On Sunrise is Big Louie's Pizzeria, and it's great food, inexpensive, large portions, so you can go with family, you can order a portion, it'll feed two or three, so it's a nice night out.
What was it called again?
Big Louie's.
Oh, Big Louie's.
Big Louie's.
Yeah, okay, Big Louie's. All right, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you.
By the way, all of these restaurants that we've been mentioning will be on my website. I'll list all of them with their contact information at dinnerinminutes.com. We're going to take another break here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about South Florida restaurants with Jen Koretnik and Matt Meltzer, and you, our listeners. And Bonnie Berman, she wanted me to tell you. We'll take a short break here and be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene, giving us the latest news. Jen Koretnik, the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine, Matt Meltzer, Miami editor for Thrillist Media Group, and our own Bonnie Berman has been giving us her recommendations. And all of these tips and ideas are going to be on my website, dinnerinminutes.com. Go to the blog, and you'll get the names of all the restaurants we've been talking about. But right now, if you're not going out for dinner, it's Dinner in Minutes time. And here's a warm soup. It's been a little chilly these evenings, so I thought we'd have a soup. It's a pasta and bean soup, and it's a one-pot meal, really easy. It has pasta, red kidney beans, and I have a secret flavoring in it. And that secret flavoring just gives it a little zip and added zing is some horseradish with a little vinegar. Put that in at the end of when you're cooking. And then, of course, we have some cheddar cheese with it. So what I did was I sautéed some onions, some carrots, and celery just for a couple of minutes, added water, some diced tomatoes, and cooked that for 5 minutes. Then I added some cabbage, which you can already buy sliced and ready, diced, shredded, whatever, at the supermarket. And fusilli pasta, that's the corkscrew pasta. It boils for 10 minutes just to cook the pasta. And at the end, I add some spinach, some smoked ham, the kidney beans, and I just cook it a little bit to warm everything through. So easy, maybe takes you 20 minutes. And if you'd like to make this vegetarian, just add more cheese and leave out the ham. And at the very end, as I mentioned, I put the horseradish and the vinegar in the soup. The complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And you can find another quick dinner on today's Miami Herald. It's turkey and black beans. Let me see, turkey and black bean burrito, and that's in the Herald today. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, are we drinking yet?
Yes, we are. It's,
what a surprise.
Yeah, I'm always ready. And, you know, last week I promised to talk today about wines for Christmas dinner. Now, this is always a very grand affair, of course, because in addition to its obvious religious meaning, it's also the winter solstice meal. December 21st, which is this coming Sunday, is the shortest day of the year with only 9 hours and 2 minutes of sunlight. And the very next day, for the first time in months, the daylight is longer by 2 minutes at 9 hours and 4 minutes. Now, of course, ancient humans crawled out of their caves, looked up, glanced down at their digital watches and noticed this. And so it meant that the sun was coming back and mankind was not doomed to ever deepening darkness, which is, the reason they put Christmas on December 25th.
That you're getting that special information from where?
Oh, I did a story about this for the Herald years
ago. Okay, at this point. Okay, so it's
true. It's been thoroughly researched. Don't worry.
I was worried. Thank you, Fred.
Now, this obviously is an occasion for a pig out with the fanciest foods, so it's always also the time to delve deep into your cellar and bring up that really special bottle. So here are some possible menus and the wines that might go with them. First, you might have roast beef and Yorkshire pudding if you're a Brit. That calls for powerful red wines like Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. Now, Linda, you lived in England. Roast beef and pudding? It sounds odd even for the Brits. What exactly is roast Yorkshire pudding?
Oh, come on, Fred. It's bread.
Oh, it's a bread pudding.
It's like a popover.
Oh, sounds great. Anyway, next, my favorite
dish. Well, you need
it
to soak up the juice with the roast beef and your horseradish sauce. I mean, you know, this is important.
Oh, the calorie count on that must be off the charts.
Well, not really.
Nothing more than
but it is Christmas, you know.
Turkey and mashed potatoes or smoked ham and sweet potatoes.
Exactly.
Now, my next is my favorite dish, lobster pot pie, which requires super rich white wines like California Chardonnays or rich and hearty Viognier or something like that. And if you're having roast goose, if you're doing the whole Tiny Tim bit, that would call for a mellower red wine like a Syrah or a Zinfandel or something like that.
I'm glad you've got the lobster pie in there, Fred.
Yeah, let's go back to that. Who's serving that? Because that's where I'm going.
Yes. Fred.
Oh, that's
Fred,
at my house. Michigan. It's a long drive.
Oh. It's longer than Iowa.
Yeah, I'll meet you in Iowa.
There than Iowa.
There.
Yeah.
Roast salmon, which I always have to add to the meal because so many of my relatives don't do red meat. This sets up the situation where you can be trendy and cool and serve red wine with fish. You want a light red wine, of course, like Pinot Noir or Beaujolais or something like that. Or if you do want to do white, you can do a blend of Sauvignon Blanc or Semillon or one of those nice, rich, complicated blends. If you do a whole roast pig, which is a big thing, lechon asado, a big thing in Miami, this is one of my favorite meals, too. You can use a light red wine like Cabernet Franc, or you can be cutting edge and served an aromatic white wine like Gewürztraminer. That is a fabulous combination. And finally, if you really want to be traditional, you can retire with your guests after the meal and go to your study and serve a bottle of red port with dishes of hard cheese and walnuts and dried fruits. And that way you'll be sure that the sun is coming back.
And also Stilton cheese. Port with Stilton cheese would be
wonderful. Oh, wonderful combination.
Yes, that would be good up for your cold weather up there in Michigan.
That's right. A little red port is a very warming thing.
So, Bonnie, did you have another restaurant you wanted to talk
about? Well, one I wanted to... You remember the old Uva?
Oh, yes.
So have you been to Via Verde Cucina Rustica?
Yes, of course. Uh-huh.
It's great.
Yeah,
I mean,
I love
it's
it.
Great atmosphere, great food.
The food is delicious.
The two brothers, the twin... Mm-hmm. Fabrizio and Nicola,
yes.
I think it is. Yeah.
Where is it? Exactly.
It's on the corner of 69th and Biscayne.
Okay, and Biscayne.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have it. You cannot have a bad dish there.
No, it's just so good. And they specialize in truffles that they get Yes, they bring out the truffles.
They do. They grate them. Because they do that at Quattro also. But, you know, Via Verde is their... slightly lesser priced restaurant.
It's the same people?
It's the same people. Okay. So you can actually get the same quality of food, but just not quite as fancy. Just not quite as upscale.
Right. Our number is 800-743-9576.
We still have some.
Yes, and I will come to them.
Okay, Linda.
Okay.
And, you know, if Fred wants to come down and actually eat that whole pig again, Sushi Samba is doing a whole pig
for the holidays. Oh,
and
I will be there.
I suggested to them that they should put a mango in its mouth instead of course, the traditional apple. But I don't know if they're going to listen to me.
In case we didn't know, she wrote a book about mangoes.
Yeah, maybe put a little ad, a book in there.
Exactly.
And she has 900 trees.
Let's go to Nicole in Miami Beach.
She want to go...
Oh, sorry. Then we'll go to Nicole. We'll go to Jake first and then Nicole.
Okay.
Jake's been waiting a long time.
Yes.
Hello, Jake. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Appreciate your time. I have Eddie Hills. On US 1, just north of Hollandale Beach Boulevard, sushi is out of this world. I got Spriss on a Lincoln Road, and I got a Greek Island on A1A, just across the street from Oakland Park.
So Eddie Hills?
Eddie Hills used to be like a diner, but it's a really great sushi restaurant on right a little bit north of Hollandale Beach Boulevard.
Two blocks north.
On Biscayne Boulevard.
Yeah, good Biscayne. They do good Thai also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spriss on the Lincoln Road and Greek Isles. Have a happy holidays.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Greek Isles. Do you know about... Somebody asked me about Greek Isles the other day. Does anybody know about that, Greek Isles?
That's been around a while.
Matt, do you know about that?
Greek Isle? No, I haven't. I haven't been up there.
Okay.
There are a number of those Greek restaurants that they've been around for a while, and they have their loyal customers. Very good.
Linda... Okay.
Yes.
It's Paul Leary over here in the control room.
Paul?
Hello. Look over here.
Yes.
I wanted to make an announcement about Magnum. The piano bar is reopening under new management. It's actually open now, and I haven't been, but...
you said the grand opening is
The grand
Friday?
Opening tomorrow night, yeah.
And is it the same owners?
It's new owners, but the same location and a lot of the same people and entertainers, and everybody has a good time at Magnum. And
isn't that where Jeffrey was?
Jeffrey owned it for years, yeah.
Okay, so he's not there anymore.
Right. No. Now new owners.
Oh, that's a shame.
Do you know about it, Jen?
Yes. Jeffrey sold it to somebody who promised to keep it the same. He really wanted to rest.
And isn't it a woman who owns the Vagabond Hotel?
You know, I don't recall who bought it. And the Vagabond is about to open as well, the restaurant in the Vagabond.
Okay.
For people, Paul Leary is our wonderful engineer.
We know. Everyone knows that.
And it's the voice from beyond.
He takes care of our website and also. Thank you, Paul. Let's go to, now we promised Nicole.
Yeah.
Nicole, Miami Beach, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Nicole from Miami Beach. I recently relocated from Chicago, so I know great food, and I'm so happy you're mentioning all these places because I'm eager to try them all.
So do you have one to offer for us?
I do. was recently at Chibo and Coral Gables, and they mentioned that they were opening a South Beach location, and I checked it out for the opening, and it was incredible, so much so that I went back for the brunch. They have this beautiful rooftop that I didn't even know they had rooftops on South of Fifth. So I had a brunch on the rooftop, and it was beautiful. It couldn't have been more amazing food, and I was very impressed with their wine list. It's really extensive.
Okay.
Well, that's good because they're calling themselves a wine bar. So
yeah, that's right.
and that was just mentioned to us earlier on in the show.
Yeah.
We have time for one more call.
Yes.
Okay. It's Alice. And,
Hi. I'd like to recommend the Gourmet Diner. It's a gourmet, and it's in one of those diner cars. They actually moved it across the street many years ago, and it's on in North Dade. Biscayne Boulevard, I think around 150th
right.
Street. I'm not sure exactly.
Okay. We're almost out of time, so I have to cut, I'm sorry to cut you short, but that used to be owned by Jean-Pierre Lejeune, and I'm glad to hear that it's still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for your comment.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Sorry, we're just out of time. It's always a fun-packed day. Jen Kretnik, the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
And
always
author
fun.
Of
Mango.
All right. Matt Meltzer, Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Great time, as always.
Have a nice holiday out there
you
in California. And Bonnie Berman, thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
For all your comments. And I'd like to wish... Oh, Fred. Sorry, Fred. Thank you, Fred Tasker, for your great wine suggestions for the holiday.
Always a pleasure.
I want to wish everybody a wonderful and delicious holiday season and a happy new year. Since Christmas is next Thursday and New Year's
is the one after.
I will be back in 2 weeks. And I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. Our producer is Richard Ives with technical direction and more, including restaurant suggestions from our online producer, Paul Leary. If you'd like an audio download of today's or of any of our past programs, go to our website, WLRN.org. More information, links, photos, discussion as well at the Topical Currents Facebook page. That's facebook.com/topicalcurrents. Tomorrow at 1, join Ed Bell for another edition of South Florida Arts Beat. And Joe and I return Monday with a program about the increasing percentage of those who eschew the religious life for the secular. Sociology and Secular Studies Professor Phil Zuckerman joins us. Bonnie Berman for Joseph Cooper wishing you a happy Hanukkah, happy holidays, and a great weekend. Please stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.